welcome back to Chatting About Chan. We've been gone for a little bit, you know, life finds a way, as they say, and we took a bit of a hiatus, and we're back stronger than ever. And with today's episode, I'm here with my co-host
Mason,
and today we're actually, for us to move forward, we have to go backwards. And today's movie is Fist of Fury, starring Bruce Lee, not Jackie Chan. I want to be clear. It's starring Bruce Lee, not Jackie Chan. We are actually, you know, we're in dark times. We are recording during COVID, and Mason and I are not together in the studio, which is very sad. But I'm actually, obviously you guys can't see it, I am video chatting with Mason because I wanted to see your face. It's been a long time. It's been like 3-4 months.
Hopefully it'll improve the vibe a little bit to actually see our faces.
Yeah, I feel like it would be like an actual job interview if I was like staring at a wall talking to you. I got to see your face, and thankfully with 21st century technology, we can achieve that.
I could imagine like lying in bed, like looking up at the ceiling, kind of relaxing.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to be like engaging. Like I need to see somebody physically, and helps me like process my thoughts more. I don't know. It's just easier for me.
Yeah, it might take it in a worse direction.
But so, you know, we're doing this during COVID, and we took a bit of a break, and I just kind of want to acknowledge, like, for us to get back up on the horse, you know, I believe everything happens for a reason, and we took a break a while ago, and a lot has happened in that time, and I think a lot of things have happened that have coincided with, we had been talking for a while about getting the podcast going again, but I think one of the real signs from God was when I saw, I'm a big fan of the Criterion Channel. If listener, you don't know what that is, it's Criterion is a company that takes old movies that they kind of deem, or the film community unofficially deems as important to film history or as a classic. So it's usually like movies that film snobs like me are interested in, you know, high, quote unquote, high art. And so the Criterion Channel was launched like a year ago, and a few weeks ago or a month ago, they announced the programming for the month of May, and buried in there was a Jackie Chan special. Now, about a year ago, they restored Police Story 1 and 2, which was, again, I guess the point of this is Criterion Channel is like Bergman, Tarkovsky, Kurosawa, like the artiest of the art. So the fact that they invested their time in Jackie Chan like proves to me and Mason that we're not the only ones that recognize his insane and massive contribution to cinema as an art form, because they only do like the cream of the crop. And so I was like, oh my God, Police Story 1 and 2, that's amazing. So they did that restoration. It looks amazing. Mason was fortunate enough to see it on the big screen. I was not, but I owned the
It
DVD.
Was awesome.
It was amazing.
It was probably the loudest movie you've ever seen. I don't know why they had the volume cranked up so loud, but the gunshots were ear-splitting.
Where I'm getting with this is when they announced the lineup, they announced they had like 5 super early Jackie movies. And the reason why I believe everything happens for a reason is because Mason and I were still in the super early stages of covering Jackie's career. And I was like, oh my God, this is a message. We need to kick this into high gear and get the ball rolling. They have movies that it's so funny when you think of the best film, like as a casual Jackie fan, I only know the big hits. And therefore after Mason and I had gone over his IMDb credits, you know, you realize just how the breadth of his career, and you think of the big hits, and that you think that only the big hits are the good movies, and the films that Criterion chose, apparently they sound awesome just by reading the description, but the reviews, the quick reviews I read online, they were all really positive and were just like great examples of early Jackie cinema. I clicked on one of them just to take a look, and it says, like, before the film starts, it says Criterion Channel, so I'm guessing they restored them, and I clicked on Spiritual Kung Fu, and it looked amazing. So I'm really psyched now. Those movies are, like, only, like, a year away from where we are, which is great. We're getting really close. It's the movies that they have on there are Half a Loaf of Kung Fu, Spiritual Kung Fu, something Hyena 2. And I
Fearless
think
Hyena, probably.
Which one?
Fearless Hyena?
Yeah, Fearless Hyena number 2, but they don't have number 1. And I think they had The Young Master, which I was really excited to see before because I think The Young Master was, even Jackie has said, I think that's one of his favorites. I'm not sure. I don't know why I was, but I was excited to see The Young Master early on. Either way, super, super cool that Criterion is, they're clearly fans of Jackie as well. That makes me really excited. Yeah, I just thought that was a sign from God. So
yeah, it's great.
So yeah.
So
go ahead.
I wanted to set a few things straight before we get started, because we've been talking, so I guess the number one thing is like, just to remind everybody, this is the podcast where we set to watch every Jackie Chan film where he has a starring role in the picture. So we're looking at like,
so
IMDb.
If he has an uncredited, there's so many movies in the early 70s to mid 70s where it says like Drunken Sailor or Beggar, uncredited, or even it just says uncredited role, we're not covering those.
Right. So, but I wanted to make sure that we had on the record that there were two films that we watched that when we went back and listened to our commentary, we felt a little uncomfortable putting them out there, mostly because of the content of the movie being a bit risque. So those films are Facets of Love from 1973 and All in the Family from 1975. So we did officially record those episodes, and we're just not going to release them. I wanted people to know that.
No, I'm. Thank you for clearing the air on that. I think that's important to know, and so that nobody can call us out, because I have the files on my computer as evidence. But you know, maybe we'll release, if Jackie's on the pod and he wants to hear them, maybe we'll release them. We'll see. But yeah, it was a little after. Yeah, as Mason said, they're just too risque. The content was just, it was too much.
And also, they're just, those movies are also like a mess.
They're terrible.
So hearing us try to talk through them is like just a little bit insane.
They're also the ones that are completely like off the path of his career that just like don't really make sense in the grand scheme of things. So it's not a huge loss. They're just bizarre little, they're just these weird movies from the 70s that were produced. So NBD.
So the last episode we talked about was Hand of Death in 1976, but we're going to go back to 1972 for the Fist of Fury.
It says 1971 on IMDb.
Oh, really?
Sorry, 1972. Weird. I don't know why I wrote 71. My bad. Sorry.
72. Yeah, Fist of Fury, which is a Bruce Lee vehicle. And at the time, Jackie Chan is working as basically...
So we got to say, so Mason, why are we watching a Bruce Lee movie today?
We're watching it because it has a few... It represents two things. Number one is a big moment in Jackie's career where he does a stunt that makes him more like brings his notoriety up significantly. And the other reason is that Jackie is called upon to star in a remake of this film in 1976 called The New Fist of Fury. So we wanted to make sure that we were able to compare the Bruce Lee version to the Jackie Chan version.
Yeah, and also, it like Mason just said, it was such a, this was a huge turning point in his career, and I think for more reasons, Mason, other than just having a role in the film, I think that Jackie being around Bruce Lee, obviously, I think that affected him, and also, I think that without, if Bruce Lee didn't exist, there would not be a Jackie Chan, and if Bruce, you know, I think... We can talk about this later, maybe, or we can talk about it now. I guess, what do you want to talk about the movie? What made Bruce Lee such an icon? And we can talk about how he fits into Jackie's career. So you want to talk about the movie first, and we can talk about Bruce Lee, or do you want to talk about Bruce Lee first?
Let's talk about... I've got some good notes here. So there are actually two Jackie Chan autobiographies, and I've read both of them. Both are good. I like the earlier one. I believe it was published in the 93 or something. There's a really cinematic quality to it, and it makes me suspicious that some of it might be a little bit, you know, elaborated upon. But it is a really good, fun read. So maybe we could talk about Jackie's life before this movie, and then I can talk a little bit after we talk about the movie about the significance of him in this movie.
Yeah, so why don't you recount the chapter in the book that gave you the idea for us to watch this in the first place?
Sure. So, well, basically, Jackie goes to school at this basically like kung fu opera academy.
You're talking about in real life now.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, Jackie had attended this really brutal school for training kids on how to become basically acrobatic performers that kind of do play fighting. And he comes out of this school, and basically all of his classmates come out of this school and go immediately into the Hong Kong film production, working as stuntmen basically. And he talks a lot about how he would just take any role he could get. A lot of them were really bad. He said that some of his friends joked and called him like the most famous corpse in Hong Kong, because a lot of times what the stuntmen would get to do would be just to lie down on the ground in the background as a corpse. But basically he worked his way up slowly. Basically, in order to get the chance, you know, Bruce Lee is really like the Elvis of Hong Kong, you know, like to get to work on a Bruce Lee picture is a pretty big deal. So even to get to that point, he had to make some pretty big waves. And in particular, there's one movie he talks about working on, which he doesn't name because he rips on it really hard. So I think he wanted to keep the guy's name out of it. But he talks about a kind of a really bullish director who demands that someone do this stunt requiring the actor to jump 15 feet and land, do a flip and then land on their feet, and no wires and no padding were allowed. And Jackie volunteers to do this stunt, and the stunt coordinator says, "What are you trying to do? You're making me look like an idiot. You know, you're doing this stunt that no sane person would do." And Jackie basically says, "Well, like, you know, right now I'm a nobody, and I'm always going to be a nobody unless I do something really special." And so he does this stunt and successfully, and I think that's part of what propels him to the level of fame where he's able to get an offer to work in this Bruce Lee picture, Fist of Fury. And actually, he gets the connection from his old friend from school, Sammo Hung, who, of course, he works with a lot over the years. But so that's how Jackie Chan gets involved into Fist of Fury. And they bring him in, I think, as basically a stunt double, but also a stunt coordinator for this movie. So he's also helping Bruce Lee like choreograph some of the fight sequences. So you want to dive into the movie itself?
Yeah. So I think what's fascinating, so this movie, I have to admit, as a diehard movie fan and also someone, I grew up in Asia. I lived there for 10 years. It's so weird. I have a confession, Mason. I've never seen a Bruce Lee movie until now. This is the first Bruce Lee movie I've ever seen. And I think it's because I was being, you know, an elitist prick, because we are, I feel like in our pop culture, and this is a testament to Bruce Lee's, like, Bruce Lee is a legend and his impact on pop culture. He's in pop culture constantly. TV show references, music, movies, posters, t-shirts, hoodies, whatever. You see his image everywhere. I feel like I hear about him everywhere. And therefore, I feel like I had seen his movies without have ever seeing them. And so I just never got around to watching a Bruce Lee movie. So Fist of Fury was the first one that I'd ever seen. And I get it. I totally get it. Like, can you imagine watching this movie in 1971? Like, I bet it was insane.
I mean, even compared to the previous Jackie Chan movies that we've been watching for this podcast, the fighting looks a lot more realistic. It looks painful when people get hit.
It looks painful when people get hit, but also I think that's, he's lucky that he has such a good director. This guy, first of all, the guy knew how to shoot a movie. Forget the fighting. He knew how to frame an image. He knew how to use the lenses. He knew how to use camera movements. Like, the movie looks beautiful. And, but he, more importantly, he knew how to make Bruce Lee look like a star. The dude looks so badass on screen.
He does.
Like, it's, I couldn't believe it. I was watching, like, I was like, I feel like I've been missing out on something special for 31 years now. And I get it. I just, let's just say, like, I feel like it's one of those things where I thought for a while maybe he was overhyped because he has such a short career. You know, he had a tragic death when he was like 31 or 33. Terrible. And so I was just like, yeah, I maybe nowadays it's outdated. No, like, not at all. This dude was insane. And it's really sad that we didn't get to see more from him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really super familiar with Bruce Lee either, but from my side, I think I had seen part of Enter the Dragon, which is
classic. I'd seen bits and pieces of Enter the Dragon as well, and it never left an impression on me, and I think that's partially because it was an American production as well, and it just was kind of boring and fell flat, whereas here, they knew exactly what to do. But let's talk about the movie first so we can go back and discuss the technicalities.
Sure. So the movie is basically about Bruce Lee. His name is what? Chen?
Chen.
I think his character's name is Chen, and Chen is a student at a Chinese fighting academy.
Yeah, his character's name is Chen Zhen. And the movie was directed by Wei Lo, who I think also directed New Fist of Fury.
Yes, he did. Yeah, so the basic plot of it is that the main teacher is murdered by this Japanese rival martial arts school, and the Chinese school is just being hounded by the Japanese the whole movie. They're kind of getting pushed around, and everyone's looking for Bruce Lee's character because he basically tried to take a little bit of revenge by beating up everyone at the Japanese school. So it's just kind of this ongoing rivalry between these two schools. That's the overall plot.
What was interesting about the movie to me was, so as Mason just recounted the plot, it's very simple, which is fine. But for a movie that's that simple and 2 hours long, there's only two extended fight sequences. There's one big fight sequence in the beginning when Bruce Lee goes to the Japanese dojo and fights them there. And then at the end when he goes to the Japanese dojo and fights them again. And then while he's fighting them at their home turf, his school is being attacked, but that's all off screen. We don't see that. So the movie's 2 hours long with like maybe a combination of 25 to 30 minutes of fighting in a 2 hour film. And that really hurts it because the movie's pretty boring otherwise. It's very forced plot for the sake of plot. And it's like, you know, which is because when you contrast that to Jackie's movies, his movies are just action, 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 action. And when there is an action, he tries to incorporate some, you know, his humor. Because I think, like, you know, no one's really there for the story of the movies. So I thought that was interesting, was just how much plot there was. And another thing that struck me immediately about Bruce Lee in this movie versus Jackie is that Bruce Lee's trying to act. Not that Jackie doesn't. I think Jackie has an on-screen persona that he adopts. But Bruce Lee was truly trying to embody the emotions of the character and trying to act. He wasn't a good actor, but I wouldn't say he was bad. He definitely has like a screen presence for sure. That was just,
he's trying,
like,
to do
insane,
like a James Dean kind of thing almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's a really apt comparison. And so jumping right into it, like, his energy and his screen presence were unreal. There's a shot, super iconic shot of him when he, in the first fight, he's surrounded by the bad guys in a circle. And he takes off his shirt. He takes off his shirt and he flexes. And it just, that shot is insane. I was just like, oh my
awesome.
God, he's a movie star. Yeah. Like, this is amazing. And then what was so funny about this, that scene was, we can talk about my favorite part of the movie was when he beat them up with the nunchucks. I thought that was awesome. Focusing more on him and his fighting style versus Jackie, Bruce Lee was deadly serious. And it's like you feel every punch, every kick. And what was interesting about this movie was when he fought somebody, he didn't just like beat them up. He killed them, like, and violently too. It was
there's a great scene where he I think it's the main teacher, not like the big baddie, but the main teacher. The guy looks like he's like 40 years old with the big glasses. Yeah, I'm like, why is he beating up this old guy? Yeah, he like knees him in the head. He kicks a sword out of his hand, and then it flies in the air. He knees
amazing,
him in the head.
Amazing.
And the guy is crashing the ground, and the sword comes back down and stabs him through the back, and he dies.
Through the back, through that his was heart. Awesome. It was awesome. That was so surprising. I literally said no way out loud when that happened. And it was really well shot, too. Like, it wasn't like these cheesy... The cheesy kung fu movies, like in Jackie's career, where if someone jumps in the air, they have like a close up of the person. They have a single shot of the person doing a somersault, and then if someone slashes at them, it'll be a stationary shot of the sword slashing across them, and then it cuts to them falling on the ground. Like here, it showed it all happened in the same frame, and it looked really good too. So one thing that I thought was interesting was like. Jackie, when he fights bad guys and cronies in his movies, he just injures them. He's not going to kill them. In this movie, he like kills three guys and hangs all of their bodies from a light post for everyone to see.
Yeah,
like it's just ruthless. Like, and what was so cool or not cool but interesting was, Jackie took from this too. When there's like three shots that are in slow motion that are just awesome. There is one shot where Bruce Lee does the finishing kill punch on the first guy he kills, and the shot is in super slow-mo, and it was so, like, nuts. It was bonkers, because his whole body's flexing, and you see the powder in the air from when he punched the guy, and just, like, the expression on his face. You feel the impact, and it's just, yeah, he was strong, he was fast. And it just could not be more different from Jackie. I think that's what's just so interesting. And that's what makes it so special is that Jackie did not rip off from Bruce Lee. Because, like, obviously we'll talk about later when we talk about New Fists of Fury was how, you know, they're trying to capitalize on him for, like, 5 years after his death. It was crazy. But, no, the movie is simple. And it's just, like, I can't imagine what a shot to the arm this movie must have been when it came out. Like, it was just his... He's full of energy. Now, one part I really want to talk about, I know this is about Jackie, but like, there's like 30 minutes spent of the movie of Bruce Lee like investigating undercover. And he like dresses up as a beggar, and then he dresses up as a telephone man, and all he does is put on some glasses. Awesome. He puts on some glasses and slouches his back.
Well, he's got the big smile on his face too, because he never smiles. So the smile is part of his disguise too.
That'll get him.
Oh, and he's a rickshaw driver too, remember?
Oh yeah, oh my god, when he picked up the rickshaw with the guy sitting in it, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was sick.
But it's the movie I would recommend you see Fist of Fury if you haven't seen. I mean Bruce Lee only made like five movies, but the big ones are obviously Enter the Dragon, Fist of Fury has always been a big one. Big Boss is the one he did before Fist of Fury, and it looked pretty good. And then the one that even Tarantino pays homage to in Kill Bill with the yellow tracksuit, that's from a movie called Game of Death. I forget who, does he fight Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or something like in the Coliseum? I forget. He fights maybe Chuck Norris. It's some really famous people. What's so interesting, and I just found this out yesterday, I was doing some research. They were only like halfway done filming with Game of Death when he got the call that America was going to make Enter the Dragon. So they halted production on Game of Death, and he went to the States and filmed Enter the Dragon, and then he died. They didn't get to finish filming Game of Death. They released Game of Death 5 years after he died. So they went back and filmed the scenes that he wasn't in with body doubles. And I just think that's like, as I get older and I think about time, like 5 years is a long time. Like it's like a weird novelty when something from your past comes to present day. And it's like, you're like kind of excited about it, but not really. I cannot even begin to imagine what it was like to see a Bruce Lee movie 5 years later. I don't know. That would have been pretty weird.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Right?
But like if they release one of the Fast and Furious movies like now.
That's what happened. Paul Walker died 2 years, and then 2 years later, they released the movie after he had died.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what if they waited another 3 or 4 years? That would be crazy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But and I think they said that Bruce Lee became more famous in the States after his death. He was already very big in China. But so I guess we've kind of talked about, you know, what we liked about the movie. And I definitely... Oh, one thing we didn't talk about, Mason, is Jackie's stunt.
So basically, in the last fight... Spoilers, I guess. Sorry. When the last scene... I mean, you know that...
You know the bad guy's going to die.
So the way they wanted him to die was Bruce Lee was going to... Chen was going to kick the bad guy through basically like a door. But he was going to fly like 20 feet. So the way they had to do this was Jackie would have to get... Jackie was going to obviously do the stunt. And the plan is that he'd be kicked and then... off screen, some of the other workers would be, he'd be attached to a wire and a harness around his chest, and they'd yank it backwards and yank him 20 feet away from, through the door and away from the kick that he received from Bruce. So, yeah, he does the stunt, and, you know, I think he passes out because he basically gets the wind knocked out of him from getting yanked 20 feet. But he says he wakes up and, you know, Bruce Lee is right there. And so is Sammo Hung, and they're all looking down on him and, you know, telling him that he did a fantastic job, you know, really impressed with him. So Jackie mentions that in the book as a really critical moment for him. And you know, I think basically what happens is right after this movie, shortly after this film, Bruce Lee dies, and suddenly so much of the work in Hong Kong for filmmakers and for stuntmen especially dries up. And so Jackie Chan has to basically get on a plane and go fly to Australia to live with his parents because he can't afford to live in Hong Kong anymore because there's just no work left. And, but he's there for a little while, and you know, actually, that's where he gets the nickname Jackie Chan, which is interesting.
Oh yeah, was that from when he worked as a construction worker? Is that what it was?
Yeah, basically, his boss was named Jack, and he knew that his coworkers couldn't pronounce his real name, so they said, "Okay, I'm Big Jack. That's Little Jack." So Little Jack eventually became Jackie, so that became his new name. But basically, he gets called back to Hong Kong because they're going to be making new Fist of Fury, and they remember how good he was as a stunt coordinator in this movie in Fist
of Fury. But he had to be convinced, right? It wasn't like, or did he jump at it? I can't remember.
He is not happy in Australia, and he really wants to get back to work, but he does haggle with them a little bit about his pay. And it's funny, like, I think they say that they're going to put him in as the leading man, and he's going to get a really small salary because he's kind of an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he gets there, they say, "Oh, and we also need you to be the stunt coordinator." And that's when he can like negotiate a much higher pay to perform both roles. So, you know, basically it's that stunt, which was able to save him from like obscurity in Australia. That's what brought him back to China and to Hong Kong and back into the film biz. So,
and obviously we haven't seen New Fist of Fury yet, but I think I can say this now, like, that stunt led him to be a part of film history, see how Bruce Lee, you know, was his persona on set, how he did his whole thing. And also I think that gave food for thought for Jackie of who he wanted to be. And when he came back, what year was New Fist of Fury, Mason?
76. Yeah, 76 is when the movie comes out.
So when he did New Fist of Fury in 76, I think what's important is that he had, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, it sucks. Bruce Lee died. But I don't think if Bruce Lee had not died, Jackie would not have done New Fist of Fury. Because when Jackie does New Fist of Fury, they want him to be Bruce Lee. And that's not who he is. And, like, we haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't know how different it is from Jackie's normal screen presence. But he says in his books, like, it was not him. They wanted him to be something he wasn't. They wanted him to be like Bruce Lee. So they did New Fist of Fury and the movie bombed because nobody wanted to see a wannabe Bruce Lee. And so everyone's like, oh my God, like, what did we do? And I think Jackie was like, at this, I don't remember if Jackie was like, my career is over, or that's when the light bulb went off in his head when he was like, I think I know how to connect with audiences in my own way. And if if that movie had not failed, he would not have found his voice. So that's why I think it's all tied together and why this is so, this Fist of Fury and New Fist of Fury are so important to his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie were kind of like, the movie we keep kind of going towards is the Snake and the Eagle Shadow, which is really his, you know.
That was the overnight, the one that Revolver made him an overnight star.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, like you're saying, it wouldn't have happened for him without these two movies.
Yeah, and it's even though crazy, they both it's were crazy kind of, how Bruce it's crazy how Bruce Lee played a role in shaping his career. It's fascinating. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I just was gonna say his actual role in Fist of Fury was small, and then in New Fist of Fury he kind of failed. But without those two movies, he wouldn't be who he was. He wouldn't have gotten the chance.
So after watching Fist of Fury, Bruce Lee was very serious. He was philosophical. He was violent. He was fast, and he never really felt. I don't want to say he felt invincible, but like he never showed pain really. When he got cut or punched, he just took it, and he just was like, he wasn't afraid. He was fearless. Jackie is literally the 180 of that. Jackie is funny. He's happy. He's silly in his movies. He shows himself getting hurt. He shakes his hand after he throws a punch. He'll look at like a stunt, like climbing a big ladder, and he'll be like, "Whoa!" Like he'll let the audience know like he's afraid himself. Like literally the complete opposite of Bruce. So and I think that they both could only they could do that because, like I said, Bruce Lee was like this symbol. The guy just was such a badass, and everyone was like, "I want to be like him." And then you look at Jackie. And Jackie says in his book that he tried to inherit traits that everyone could relate to and put themselves in his shoes. Obviously, we can't do the stunts he does, but he reacts the way a normal person would react if they got hurt or in those situations.
Yeah, you know, it makes you feel like maybe you could be that guy.
Maybe. You
know? Yeah.
So that leads me to, as we talk about Jackie... Oh, speaking of which, there was a recent thing. I forgot, Mason, maybe. I haven't seen the clip, but there was some... Bruce Lee's daughter posted a video of Jackie on her Instagram. Do you know what was the clip talking about? Was it when he was with him on Enter the Dragon? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And Jackie talks about getting smacked in the head with a stick.
Oh, right.
And Bruce Lee came to help him up, and he basically... didn't want Bruce Lee to let him go. He wanted to pretend to be hurt, more hurt than he was, so that Bruce Lee would hold him for longer.
Yeah, he talks about in that clip and maybe some other clips I saw. I saw a clip of him recently on an American talk show where he was promoting his book of just how fast he was. The dude was just so fast. Like everything you see on film is not exaggerated. Like he was that amazing. Really sad that he is gone. It sucks that his son is gone. I've actually seen pieces of the movie that his son was in about his dad. It was called like Bruce Lee, like Story of the Dragon, Bruce Lee or something. I forget. But I've seen pieces of it. I actually wouldn't mind rewatching that now. But it's like the Bruce Lee story. I can't remember. But yeah, I want to see that. So there's a great YouTube channel I wanted to mention that has a two-part intro retrospective of Bruce Lee's career. I've only seen part one. They're like 15 minutes each. The channel is called Accented Cinema, and it's this guy who focuses solely on Chinese cinema. And he says something that was so fascinating about what made Bruce Lee stand out that he's absolutely right. Here, I have some notes on it. One moment. He had a line that stood out to me. He said Bruce Lee was violent, realistic, and contemporary. No more opera. everything that had come before Bruce Lee was wuxia. It was like folk tale, super fantasy stylized action. People on wires doing somersaults, and there a lot of the fighting was felt very choreographed, similar to the Chinese opera. That's where a lot of it, the inspiration for those movies had come from. He was comparing. He's like, here's a scene from an action scene from a movie from 1966. Here's a clip of a Bruce Lee action scene from 1971. Totally different. And he changed the face of Hong Kong cinema. And then you take that a step further to Jackie, and Jackie's even more different than that. But he still grounded in reality by Jackie doesn't use wires. Well, not until recently, but we don't talk about that. Using modern day props and things like that. So I thought that was a really interesting quote. And you guys should really check out Accented Cinema. We'll link to the video on our YouTube video of this podcast in the description. Find it below. His channel rocks. He's answered so many questions I've had. Like, he's talked about humor in Chinese movies. He made a video about why everyone remembers Japanese swords in cinema, but no one remembers Chinese swords. Really interesting topics, and he goes really deep into them. They're really thoughtful, really well researched. I highly recommend his channel. It's awesome.
I'll check it out.
And maybe we'll get him on the podcast. I mean, it's not like anyone's doing anything. We're all inside right now. So,
yeah, it's a good excuse to go and record a podcast.
So, yeah, I guess let's wrap this up. I have a new appreciation for Bruce Lee, and it's this movie is I think it's a very important evolution in cinema, but obviously Kung Fu cinema, Hong Kong cinema. And he set a new precedent. Obviously, America was interested because their first produced Kung Fu film of all time was Enter the Dragon. Not that America has made a lot of Kung Fu movies. They've certainly tried to incorporate martial arts into their films, but not solely focus on it. And I think what's interesting, though, kind of going backwards a little bit, I talked about how I felt the movie was very boring when there was no action. Like, because he was so good at it, I just wanted to see more fight scenes with him. But then I hate it when movies are just action, like The Raid. The Raid had no plot. It was go up 13 floors to get the bad guy. That's the plot of The Raid number one. And it's just...
Well, you're wrong. I mean, you're wrong about The Raid. The Raid is amazing.
I didn't like it. It was too... what's the word I'm looking for?
Good?
What's it called when you have the word? When you have unnecessary?
Gratuitous?
Gratuitous violence. It was all gratuitous. I think it was just too much. It was just movie. Like there was no motivation for the constant nihilistic death. It was just too nihilistic for me. And... so it's like, how do you find that balance? And I think you need to have a good plot, but then what am I talking about? I love Jackie Chan's movies. They don't really have outrageous plots, you know? Oh, you got to find that guy with the briefcase or, you know,
oh, who am I?
Like, John Wick to me is the perfect action movie. It's the interest, the story. Cause I was intrigued by the story, but there wasn't too much of it. It was like a skeleton, but the action was so awesome. Anyways, I want to go back and watch the other Bruce Lee movies now. I really want to see Big Boss. That sounded great. I do want to see Game of Death. And I have no interest in watching The Green Hornet. I think that's interesting that show did not take off, even though Bruce Lee thought his acting career was over after Green Hornet, but then he went back to Hong Kong and became a star. I'd be curious to look into why that show failed, especially since, you know, he's so unique. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, that, I mean, that happens over and over again. Americans trying to bring Chinese cinema over here, and it just doesn't work. They just don't know how to do it. I don't think they want to collaborate, but they don't want to give any of the creative control over to their Chinese collaborators. And I think
this point's going to come up a lot when we get into Jackie's films in the 2000s, because I love Jackie, but like, and he makes this point in his book. You know, he's kind of like soccer. Everyone in the world knows who he is, and even the most remote parts of the world, but he's not famous or very popular in the States. Like, everyone knows who he is now, but not because they've seen them films, just because he's part of pop culture, kind of like Bruce Lee. His American movies suck, and it's not his fault. He he was, I think Jackie was so driven and competitive and wanted to be, he wanted, it was like that, like the United, being successful in America was that one check mark on his list that he just had to check off. And I get that. Like, he's like, I'm famous everywhere in the world except the United States. And none of his movies connected with American audiences. And it's not his fault. It's because the studios have so much control and they don't want to collaborate and literally let him do what he wants. And they shoehorn stupid romances and terrible, like, actual plots into the movies, and they don't let him just do his thing. So it really holds him back, and therefore the movies
suck. I'm
sure
they're also, like, telling him, you know, oh, this may work in China. This is not going to work in the U.S. But,
well,
but they were wrong.
That, it's like, why? Oh, you, Bruce or Jackie?
Yeah. Oh, I guess both, but I was talking about Jackie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was beyond a megastar at this point. The dude was the most famous person in the world. One of the most famous people. Like, outside of soccer and rugby players, I mean, Jackie Chan was an international icon. I mean, still is, obviously. But so, yeah, Mason, that's my wrap-up. What about you? Do you have anything to conclude?
No, I'm just excited to be doing the podcast again. And, you know, I think maybe this one was a little, you know, like riding a bike after 2 years or whatever, but I think we'll get back into it, and I'm just excited to get back into the films.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see New Fist of Fury, specifically to see if Jackie's trying to channel Bruce Lee, if he's like trying to hold back from being Jackie. It's gonna be interesting to see what's going on there in that movie, and then to see his transition into Jackie after New Fist of Fury. I'm so psyched. These next couple of years that are coming up, the late 70s, are going to be awesome. He made like 5 movies in 76, which is insane. Maybe not in that year, but 5 movies were released in 76. The late 70s are awesome. That's when he really takes off, and it just gets better from there. And, you know, another thing I was thinking about this the other day, each decade is so significant. Like, the 70s were his, like, the movies were, it was kung fu films that took place in like medieval China, and then his 80 movies were more contemporary, and then his 90 movies were very modern, like super they felt like they took place in everyday society, and then the 2000s are just, well,
like just, Bleeding Steel.
Yeah, Bleeding Steel, just everything is boring
in the future.
It's so, what, which one?
Bleeding Steel takes place in the future.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's why there's cyborgs and stuff.
You know, it's funny. Jackie should be at the point in his career where he has to go back to basics and realize that's what people want. But I don't know. I need to do some research to see if his new movies are making any money at the box office. I don't know.
No idea.
So anyways, that's it for Chan About Chan. If, you know, thank you for listening, if you're still listening. And check us out, you know. We have an Instagram account, The Final Frame. The Final Frame is a movie blog I have, but it's kind of like the umbrella. And the Chatting About Chan is part of The Final Frame. So you can just check us out at The Final Frame on Instagram and on Twitter. And we also have a YouTube channel that we upload these to. You know, leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you have a movie that you're looking forward to. And we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely would.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week for New Fist of Fury.
Thanks, guys.